I'm Holly Waymont, and this is Pediatrics Now. Joining me today here in the podcast studio is Dr. Kenneth Nwosa. He is a sports medicine specialist. He's the head doctor for UTSA, or the University of Texas at San Antonio Athletics here in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. You were an athlete in high school in Flower Mound?
Yeah, I wasn't a great athlete. I was actually more on the side of performing in drumline and doing competitions there. But I was an athlete for high school basketball, middle school football, and concussions are fairly common, especially in contact sports. Studies and data has shown that football, of course, has a high rate of concussions, but you can also see it in sports you don't even think about. Cheerleading and soccer, those are the top three sports that we see right now. So
where that you see the concussions?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Top, really?
Yeah, those are the top sports that we see concussions. And then it differs when you get into the NCAA level, because now you include wrestling and hockey. But football, cheer, wrestling, hockey, soccer, those are things to keep an eye on for concerns of a concussion.
I was a cheerleader in high school, and mm-hmm. there was one of our classmates who was on the top of the pyramid who mm-hmm. was dropped and had a bad injury. I mean, but it didn't seem to have the recognition, like it wasn't thought of as other sports. We competed and we did a lot of athletic things.
Yeah, because, you know, the most popular thing is football. Everybody knows that if you get hit, you get your bell rung, you may sustain a concussion. But again, it can happen in other sports. And whether or not there's a protocol to identify and then rehab those athletes, that has to be discussed and further research to define what is a great protocol for these different sports outside of football. Our recognition and our observation and treatment of these athletes is continuing to get better and better and better. So it's becoming more apparent. People are becoming more privy to it. And that's just better all around.
And with cheerleading, I mean, you're on top of a pyramid. You're mm-hmm. being thrown up in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, a lot of caution for that. It could be very dangerous. And luckily, USA Cheer has their own concussion protocol. We have our own concussion protocol at UTSA. And it's always important to have spotters available when conducting in tosses, basket tosses, pyramids, and also trying to protect themselves, protect their head and neck area if something happens where the pyramid does, you know, fall. So it's important to learn techniques on how to decrease the likelihood of head injuries.
And all the gymnastics that's involved, mm-hmm. front flips, back flips.
Exactly. I mean, if you're up in the air, you're going to come down, and hopefully you come down on your 2 feet.
Well, I'd like to put in there, we did win 9th in the nation my
Uh-oh.
Freshman year.
Uh-oh. There we go. Awesome.
I've always wanted to be able to say that, you know, in a public setting.
There you go.
And soccer, those hits mm-hmm. that may seem not as serious, but mm-hmm. it's so often. Can you tell us about that?
So soccer, the main concern is, of course, is heading the ball. Okay. That can be, it can be a very a serious force to the skull, causing some brain microtraumas. But also head-to-head collision is something that we see. Falling down flat on your face on the pitch is something that we see. So there are a lot of opportunities to get injured and have a concussion. So it's just being aware of the possibility, that is a possibility, that if you're patient, your student athlete, your daughter or son is having symptoms of headaches or dizziness after conducting in a contact sport like soccer, it'll be great for you to get proper evaluation and really understand if this is a diagnosis as a concussion. Understanding if they lost consciousness, if they have any neck pain, headaches or dizziness, numbness or tingling in their upper extremities. Because a broad differential can include just a regular headache. Of course, it can include a concussion. It's just something like a stinger where you have a unilateral radiation of pain down an extremity. Or is this any other type of neurotrauma to the head and neck area? The recommended course of action in terms of identifying a concussion is to actually get baseline screening. So if you do have the opportunity to get baseline screenings with your local high school and athletic trainer, go ahead and do that, whether that's with the impact or even sway testing. Oh, this is before. So getting a baseline. Yeah, getting a baseline test before. And there's plenty of apps, plenty of products that that you're able to get mass baseline testing at a given school. It can be suggested, but the likelihood of it happening without backing of the actual school is very, very tough. So it's understandable if it can't happen, but after the concussion is where you want to conduct a SCAT 6. The international conference determined that we update from a SCAT 5 to a SCAT 6, which is a questionnaire that the student athlete, parent, and yourself as a practitioner can fill out and evaluate through a clinical visit. And you're looking at cognitive function, you're looking at memory, coordination and balance, and also identifying certain symptoms and creating a scale. I mean, it's a great assessment tool to determine memory, cognitive function, balance, and also scaling their symptoms.
What are the symptoms really where it could be something even more serious than a concussion?
So one of the things you got to look out for is whether or not their brain and their skull is truly traumatized, leading to significant deficiencies in their neurocognitive function. So having a long-lasting bout of unconsciousness is an alarming sign.
So longer than, say, how long? 30 seconds?
It determines. So if it's more than 30 seconds or a minute, you just want to have the proper evaluation. If they have a long duration loss of consciousness, if there's any nausea or vomiting, if they have difficulty with vision or they can't see, those are things to watch out for. And those are the alarming red flags. Numbness and tingling in the upper extremities that is not coming back, that they lost that sensation and that sensation isn't returning. That's also an alarming sign, and significant neck pain in which they cannot move their neck or they have extreme difficulty with just the basic rotation of their neck. That's, again, a red flag to look out for. That means we need to go to the emergency room. This is based off of evaluation on the field.
All right, because it could be a brain bleed.
Yeah.
It could be a spinal cord injury.
Exactly. It could be a spinal cord injury, number one. It could be a fracture of the cervical spine. It could be a traumatic brain injury that is most severe, leading to possible bleeding or contusion of the area. So that means do not pass go, go straight to the emergency room for proper evaluation.
And you say that every athletic program should have a trainer on site?
Yes. So if your child participating in contact sports, it's always great to verify if there's an athletic trainer available during practices or during games, because their level of training, they're able to identify injuries, including concussions, and be able to provide prompt evaluation and possibly even treatment to help them be seen by a physician afterwards. So it's always good to ask the school board, ask the principal, ask coaches, do you guys have an athletic trainer on site? And then also promote the hiring and the position of athletic trainers within school districts and stadiums and soccer fields, baseball stadiums, everything like that.
And to be on site at the games, mm-hmm. at the practices even would be ideal.
If they can be on site at the practices, even better. We're also realistic that, you know, this requires a certain amount of funds, but it's an investment that can help save lives. So the CDC has a great program called Heads Up. That is a concussion educational tool for parents and coaches, athletic trainers, physicians. It's pretty much a basic program to identify the risks, especially with football, of a concussion, how to identify those symptoms and what are the next best steps. So when an athlete is concussed and, you know, is put back out there and play, the worst possible thing is to get what's called second impact syndrome, which can cause devastating long-term effects. So being hyper aware and having proper education of everybody around that athlete is going to be crucial to decrease the likelihood of long-term effects.
And if there's an athlete who was put in, say, five times, got five concussions, what are some of those long-term effects?
It's still debatable on what exactly they are. So I can't really, you know, define this is what's going to happen, because every patient varies. But the worst is going to be just permanent neurocognitive decline. Having significant headaches, having just neuro defects and neuro deficits that can just hamper their activity. Yeah, they'll just be the concern was that there's going to be neurocognitive decline and defects just down the line and stuff that can hamper their progression as a student, as they go finish out high school, as they go into college, as they become a working adult. And that's something that we really hope that doesn't happen. And the worst thing would just be causing an actual traumatic event to the brain where it leads to actual brain injury, structural injury and damage, such as significant contusion or even a bleed.
My cousin, Alex Smith, he was quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm. and he got a concussion.
Oh, that's your cousin? Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
He got a concussion as quarterback. He had the best record.
The most consecutive starts or something like that? Was that it?
I don't remember exactly, but something like that.
Yeah, I remember it was something like that.
Yeah, and everything was going great. He got a concussion and talked about his symptoms and got, pulled out of the game. Mm-hmm. Had to take some time off to rest, mm-hmm. followed the protocol, did the right thing. But then the coach hired someone else and he lost his job basically as quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you think we've gotten better since then in terms of understanding how serious this is?
Yeah, I think as years go on, we're always going to get better and better of understanding the impact of a concussion and also having empathy for athletes that have to sit out in order to recover. Unfortunately, when you get to the professional ranks, it's very much a business. So it's a little bit more difficult in terms of when you're sitting on the sideline recovering in terms of job protection. But luckily for high school and for college, these student athletes are protected and they are very much so watched over as they recover through the return to play protocol. And essentially, every year, we're just getting better and better at advocating for these athletes and providing accommodations academically for them, too, so they can be a successful student also. So it's really just, again, boils down to having a foundation of education of what to watch out for and having the necessary staff at these competitions. So if you have a tournament, if you have a major tournament, who is actually watching for injuries? Are these organizations hiring a PRN athletic trainer and paying them to be on the sidelines to look at all, treat and determine the severity of injuries? If the EMS should be called, should you use their services? So it's going to be about education, providing necessary staff and support for athletic trainers in these areas. And, hopefully this can kind of mend off the pressure from the professionalization of amateur sports.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of pressure. Hopefully they're having fun still.
Yeah, I had fun, so I'm not sure what they're having right now. I don't think they can just get a shoe deal from their AAU tournaments. Hopefully they're creating connections with their teammates and actually having fun playing basketball. The odds are, the odds back in the 80s versus the odds in now, they're the same. It's one in a million.
That Adidas is going to pay you to play basketball.
Yeah, yeah. They're still going to, the greats that were there in the 80s probably played less and had less pressure on them. And guess what? They're still going to be great. And that's kind of what it is now. So it's hopefully, there's just less pressure on student athletes are just meant to be student athletes, they're not going to go to the pros, and that they can just enjoy their time with their teammates and with their coaches and with their families too. So
is that what you recommend as parents, that we say to our kids when we can?
Yeah. Realization is always important, and how you present it, that's going to, that's your own, that's going to be your own thing, but
honey, you might not make a pro. It's actually pretty high chance you won't.
Exactly. It's like, let's focus more on enjoying the sport. Let's focus more on, if you do have the opportunity to play in college, focus on getting that degree. When you look at the stats, an average pro career is around 2 to 3 years, right? even if you're great, even if you have the opportunity to get a college scholarship and get drafted, undrafted, and play in a professional league, your lifespan averages at 2 to 3 years. So if you're pressuring yourself to now just work for 2 to 3 years and not focus on all the outside stuff. And a big thing right now is sports specialization. So focusing on just one sport can actually hinder the development of just your body and of the biomechanics of your body, because you're not participating in other, like track and field, like soccer, and you're just focusing on just football or just focusing on basketball or especially baseball. You want to be able to try different things to work on your coordination. So have fun, be a kid. Parents, promote that. Have fun, be a kid. And also just educate yourself on identifying injuries, educate yourself on the resources around you. And hopefully that can just, you know, just let them be a kid and have fun at playing sports.
So you see patients at the University of Texas Health Science Center's new location at Kyle Seale Parkway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the Medical Arts and Research Center in the Med Center, or also known as the MARC.
Yes. I see, they call it KSP off of 1604, and then also in the Medical Center at the MARC. Yeah.
So for our listeners in the South Texas area, San Antonio area, we'll put that information in the chat. Mm-hmm. As an athlete in middle school and high school, this is a dream come true to be doing what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've always loved being part of a team, and being in sports medicine allows me to be a part of that team, allows me to share accomplishments, have a common goal. And the best thing about it is that every athlete wants to get better, wants to get back on the field, pitch, on the court. And it just helps really revitalize and provides energy to really get them to where they want to be.
And Ken, what would you say to your middle school football playing self, or your basketball high school self?
Keep studying. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Keep studying. Yeah. Listen to your coaches pretty much.
And have fun. Exactly. On the side.
Yeah. Have fun. Have fun. You know, I had a lot of fun playing ball. I didn't take it too seriously. I think I did think I was going to go to the NBA at one point, but then, you know, I decided to be a doctor instead.
And it's worked out.
Yeah, right.
Here on Pediatrics Now, we love quotes. Uh-huh. I love quotes. Is there a quote that inspires you? And you mentioned there's a quote from the Bible that you love.
Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 9:25, it's one of the verses in the Bible that actually talks about sports, and it highlights just about training for a pretty much a boxing match, how that discipline and that focus that a boxer can put into their sport and perfect their craft is the same type of focus and energy that you can put into your life. And for me, that's also the same type of energy that I put into my sport when I was younger, or put into my practice right now, is the same type of energy I can put into my family, put into my community, put into my volunteer working in church. So there's a lot of passion in sports. And I believe that the purpose of sport is to develop that discipline and incorporate that into your life in several different aspects. And that's how I find my joy, knowing that if I get this athlete back to playing sports to the best of their ability, they can use that to now translate that to their life, to the relationships that they have, to their spirituality, to different things that can inspire others.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we also like to promote, and Pediatrics Now doing stuff outside of medicine to help recharge in this high stress, high burnout career. What do you like to do in your spare time?
So I'm still figuring it out because I have a little 11-month-old son.
Well, congratulations.
So I appreciate that. So it's really just hanging out with him and my wife when we can, watching some Netflix shows, taking a walk in our neighborhood. We do like trying out different restaurants and places to go for lunch. Being in the Hill Country, it's very beautiful. So we try to take advantage of that.
Do you feel like being a father has changed you?
I think so. I think, you know, you think about first of all, you think about paying for college. I'm like, what is the price of college going to be like in 2040?
Right.
You know, I went to Baylor and I was like, okay, yeah, I don't know if he can go to Baylor. You know, they're assuming all this. I saw a calculator the other day and I was like, okay, this is a lot. But yeah. So that right there already puts a pressure on your plate. But I think just knowing that you have somebody always looking at you for support, you know, my wife said the other day, like, did you know, like, we're his whole world. Like, he has no other friends but us. Like, we're
right.
He's looking at us for entertainment, for food, for water, for nurturing. I was like, yeah, that's true.
I say it's the hardest, best job in the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ken, it's such an honor being here talking to you today in the podcast studio. Is there anything you want to mention before we wrap?
You know, I think this is great. I think again, just wrapping up, just education is the main thing. CDC has heads up a program on their website. They have just a free program to educate yourself on concussions. UT Health San Antonio is doing a really good job of developing our sports medicine program and having a concussion pathway and open for referrals. And also just God bless and birds up.
Dr. Ken Nuosa with the University of Texas Health Science Center, or UT Health San Antonio, and the UTSA head doctor for athletics. Thank you for being here on Pediatrics Now.
Thank you very much.
Hey, are we going to have a good football team this next season?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. We're going to come prepared and rolling.
Thank you. I'm Holly Wayment. Thank you so much for listening.